Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
Well, we missed you last episode, Rob. You might, I don't think you missed us, but we missed you.
What did you ho-ho-ho's pick for your songs?
Wait, you haven't listened to it yet?
It's not out yet.
I don't think Jay's published an episode in a while.
No, actually, I just published, when we were talking last night, I published the Rainy Day music. I admittedly I was behind. I was sick and then went on vacation and then get back. I'm still kind of like really I'm still kind of clearing stuff out of my lungs. It was like I'm pretty sure I had COVID and pneumonia and like it was
I was wondering because I thought was this because you're recording from a different room or what? But yeah you did sound a little you do yeah but that explains
yeah,
it.
Still,
So you had a little bit of a thing that knocked you down, huh?
Still working it out. Yeah. So like even on nights where I've come home from work, I've been just wiped because I've been out clearing snow or whatever. And I'll just fall asleep on the couch and I'm like, oh, I need to get upstairs and edit those podcasts. But it's just like when you don't feel like it or you don't have the energy, you just can't. Yeah. So finally got up and did it last night.
So what was your number one picks for your songs?
Caleb, you won.
Yeah, mine was "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" by Sufjan Stevens.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. I love Sufjan Stevens. I was actually talking about him quite a bit. Okay. And how about you, Jay? What was up?
I cheated, and I basically picked the whole Christmas Killers album. I picked one song, but then I cheated and picked multiple songs off of it. So the Killers, basically from the year 2007 to 2018 or 17 or something, they every year at Christmas, they did a single for the Red Foundation. And then when they got done with that, after 11 tracks, they put it all together in an album. And I just love every one of those songs because they're all original. None of them are. I think the only the last song was like a cover of an actual like traditional Christmas song. And so like, I just love, we've probably already listened to that album three or four times this season. And, you know, Caleb kind of talked about how, you know, he doesn't really like to listen to Christmas music outside of the week of Christmas because it's all traditional. And it's like, well, yeah, I agree with that. I don't listen to O Come, All Ye Faithful or, you know, all that kind of stuff outside of like, you know, the week of, but like, I like to listen to, you know, after Thanksgiving, I start to crack out and crack open the playlist of, you know, outside the line Christmas songs. So the Killers is the epitome of that. So.
Yeah, the Killers one that I enjoy from that, I don't love all of their songs, but I do love the Great Big Sled. That was one of the first singles they did.
That was the first one.
Yeah. And it has kind of that Phil Spector kind of wall of sound kind of production value to it.
But
I kind of agree with Caleb. I mean, I'm not one of those people who, like, starting November 1st turns on, you know.
No.
Mariah Carey.
No. I mean, maybe Black Friday I may start. And it usually would be something kind of, like, non-lyrical with, like Charlie Brown Christmas. Like, Green Sleeves to me is kind of like, you know, and Skating is kind of like just a lovely little song that, you know, there's a lot of songs that we play only at Christmas time, but not like in January and February. Like Baby It's Cold Outside has nothing to do with Christmas.
Sure. Right.
And like that should be played like at Valentine's, right? Yeah. But nobody puts it on a Valentine's playlist, right? No, for me, it's like, you know, the Sufjan Stevens songs for Christmas albums, that's like 40 songs.
Yeah.
There's one that's crazy. Like a Holy, Holy, Holy that is just hauntingly beautiful. Just achingly beautiful. Lo, a Rose Are Blooming, which that was one of those things where during certain periods of time when you had to kind of hide that you were a follower of Christ, you know, that the metaphor of the rose is blooming in the wintertime is, you know, the whole thing of, right, it's the metaphor for Jesus. But Lo, a rose are blooming is a gorgeous song. But there's also Hey Guys, It's Christmas Time, which is his kind of rock original song on that, which is just fun to listen to. But I'm kind of like, you know, for me, it's like this, there's a few albums that I will always break out. It's like the Charlie Brown Christmas. Believe it or not, she and him, Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward, she's got great two albums.
I had two
Touched
of
on
their
them.
songs on my list.
I actually think her All I Want for Christmas is better than Mariah's. Just shots across the bow here. The one album that I love listening to is Amy Mann, One More Drifter in the Snow. And it has a it only has one original song, Calling on Mary. You know, and it's kind of like if you're somebody who like the best way to describe that album, Amy Mann, is kind of like it's like everyone's gone to bed on Christmas Eve. You're maybe still up. It's very quiet, and you're kind of like contemplating or you know, a little, maybe a little nostalgic, right? For times of past, right? Like that's the vibe of the album. It's very much like that, like aligned with like the Charlie Brown Christmas album vibe, which has that kind of nostalgia, existentialism. Like, what is this all about? You know. It's too commercial. That's the true meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown, right? You know, so her Amy Mann album's there. And actually, earlier this week, I was in Royal Oak, at the Royal Oak Music Theater to see Amy Mann's Christmas show. Now, I've seen this. This is my third time seeing it. I've seen her perform about maybe 9 times or so. It was her. It's Ted Leo, who's a punk rocker from the Pharmacist. Now, she was a punk rocker back in the 80s, sort of, and then she got poppy
Oh.
with a band called Till Tuesday. Her number one single was Voices Carry. Hush, hush, keep it down now. Voices Carry. She had a resurgence around 1999 when Paul Thomas Anderson adapted her songs for the movie Magnolia.
Oh yeah.
And then in about 2005, she released One More Drifter in the Snow, which are her Christmas albums. And she said, she was playing, I was actually sitting front row, like right in front of her. And she said, like, I'll be home for Christmas is probably her favorite Christmas song. It's just a really good, like, it's just a really good mix of songs where there's some really familiar ones. Like there's a great version of, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. But it opens up with that kind of like mournful, like whatever happened to Christmas. And then there's one that she kind of does with her husband, Michael Penn, that was from a crime movie. It was an opening of a crime movie called Christmas Time. But yeah, it's a solid album. But it was the show had Paul F. Tompkins as well. He's a comedian, and it's just a solid, fun time to go do. And they have fun with it. Like so, she gets there. She knows like okay, like everyone knows that I did Voices Carry. So they talk about like how like Christmases can be awkward, especially if your parents are divorced. So they do Voices Carry, and they change the words to Hush, hush. He's your dad now. This is Gary. And
That's
so it's
funny.
pretty solid. And then at one point, like her and Ted Leo, they had done a tour, and like they had Lisa Loeb join as a guest, and so they made Lisa Loeb do "Stay," the single from 1994's movie Reality Bites. And Amy Mann's like, you know, I can't stop thinking about these background vocals for "Stay." And Ted Leo's like, no way, I was thinking that same thing too, because they're really unique background vocals. Like they don't repeat themselves. So like, Ted Leo starts playing the song, and then you just hear. Don't, don't really care, you know, like, right? And so, like, the audience starts singing along to the Lisa Loeb parts. They're like, okay, you guys, this is too much energy for a Tuesday night. This is, you're way too distracting. Like, you know, and so the concert is like a solid concert. And it was definitely a nice way of kind of ushering in the Christmas time. So,
Nice.
cool. I never knew that that was something she did.
yeah.
Cool. Well, so that's what we talked about last week. It's funny because I, like I said, I edited both of these podcasts yesterday, and it was like, I feel like we talked about this yesterday, but I've been listening to Caleb's voice yesterday. It's like I had the conversation again yesterday.
Sorry about that.
But anyway, so yeah, we're talking today, and do we want to tell your news now, Rob, or do we want to talk about what our topic is this week?
Well, you can't.
Why don't you
I
give
was
your
gonna say
news
you
now?
can't tease the news and not
Yeah, and
break
then not
it.
give the news. I'm a teaser.
No, I got, I kind of joined in back in like what, April, May, with
Yeah, something like
fictional
that.
places you guys want to live.
Yep.
And then we've been kind of doing this on like a weekly basis or so. I just can't actually kind of keep up with this pace because I've got a lot of responsibilities happening with my day job, and I've got a few other responsibilities civically that I'm kind of taking on around where I live. And so I have just a few priorities, and rather than kind of like shifting things around, which there's behind the scenes for everyone listening, I think there were some nights we were doing on Tuesdays, some nights we were doing on Mondays, some nights we were
Yeah.
doing on Thursdays. And this is what I've only been doing this with you guys for like 5 months, and I've jerked you around like 6,000 different times. So no, I need to kind of step away from the podcast. Top five reasons of why I'm stepping away. Well, just because I've got a lot of
We don't need five. All you need is
shit.
one.
Yeah.
Well, just to, just to respond and we've loved having you. You've brought so much to the show, and like I said in our correspondence back and forth yesterday, anytime, if there's a topic that comes up or something that comes up in pop culture or in the zeitgeist, if you ever want to talk or if you ever want to come on, there's an open invitation. We love you and we love what you bring to the podcast. And what we've always said is, we want this to be something that, brings joy to us and that, we
Sure.
never want it to be a burden on anybody. So like, that's why we've taken, time off. We've been off for the last month up to this point, up before, Caleb and I's last episode. And so we never want it to be a burden. We want this to be something that we enjoy. So this is exactly the definition of that to us. So we're gonna miss you. Obviously we're still friends and we're still gonna see you at the bar, and anytime Caleb comes to town, he's gonna see you and vice
Right.
versa, if
Yep.
you go to the other side of the state or whatever. But yeah, this is just the next phase for you, and we're
Yeah, and
gonna
if
be
it's not a
sad.
regular commitment, like, if there's, you guys kind of have a sense of what my subject matter expertise is. So,
Sure. Yeah.
if you think there's something I should talk about, just,
Star Wars.
yeah,
Yep.
no,
Video
fuck
games.
no. Dear
Yep.
God, you guys are gonna have so much fun with all the topics that I'm like, fuck no.
Star Wars and Coldplay albums. Chandler's on there too. Yeah.
So,
Something like
Caleb,
that.
do you have anything to add to that?
No, I agree. It's a bummer that you're leaving, but I get it. Life's busy and all of that, and we've appreciated all your time, effort, thoughts, ideas. Everything you brought has been great. I know we don't live close together, but it's nice to get to know you from a distance for sure. And I'm bummed because I just won't see you as often because I live on the other side of the state. So
Right,
that
right.
that's a bummer for me. But we'll still keep in touch for sure. So.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. Obviously the text thread stays open. You're not gonna delete it and kick you out or anything like that. It is, we're gonna stay in communication when things come up that, our inside jokes are, applying to and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely miss you.
Yeah. No,
Yep.
thank you. So I understand.
Well, and as we were talking yesterday, you brought up the idea of, doing kind of a farewell episode, and you want to introduce our topic since you were the one to bring it up?
Yeah, well, I think you had had this on a list at one point, or had kind
Yeah,
of
I
talked
think
about
it
maybe.
was actually Caleb's idea early on. Earlier, we actually
Okay.
talked about having this be a part of every episode, but go ahead.
Like the end of every episode, kind of ending with some favorite quotes. I keep like
Yeah.
a I've famously used the iPhone, and I keep a notes app on my phone for a lot of like just great quotes, Some range from like dialogue from plays to something I might have overheard, like a song lyric or a quick poem, or it could be literally bathroom graffiti. Or
Yeah.
one time I was at a bar, and on the felt board, it was the great quote was, never let children mix your martini. It is unseemly, and they use too much vermouth.
Yeah.
You know, those are some that I keep, but I've got, I thought, why don't we do like a top five list of quotes as a way of maybe kind of putting the final word on for this for me, as we would say in the theater, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I so I had a few thoughts, and so yeah, I've got just an endless list of quotes, and I thought this would be kind of a fun way of honoring what had been kind of floating around in the group chat, and I thought, let's go ahead and just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
Well,
the
since
same
it,
way.
yeah, go
I
ahead.
have a huge note quote in my notes app as well. I don't do it quite as often as I used to. I used to collect them all the time. Like when I was a youth pastor and stuff, I used to do it all the time just because it was like a creative outlet and I would use them for various things. And now that I'm a little, my job's a little less creative, I don't maybe keep track of them as often, but yeah, I still have a really long running notes. And I enjoy collecting quotes, and I need to keep them because otherwise I'll forget them. So,
That's exactly it. Yeah.
yep, totally agree. I keep a notes, a thoughts. I actually I have kind of a hybrid list in my notes app. It's kind of a is just Jay's thoughts, where it's just like, yeah, quotes, things that I heard somewhere, just thoughts that, when shit's going on in politics or, in the world, where it's just like I have some sort of like aha moment where it's like, why is the world the way it is? I just kind of put thoughts out there, and sometimes they come out in complete gibberish. Sometimes they don't make sense later, but I just get it out there because like it's just best to get it out and onto some sort of medium. But yeah, I think it's so important to have record of the things that really stir you, whether it's, emotionally or just, intellectually.
Motivationally, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so important because then you can look back at it when you're in a weak moment, or look back at it 5 years later and see where you were at that moment, what your mindset was. And I think it's just so valuable. And then, but yeah, cool. Well, since it was your topic, Rob, why don't you lead us off with your number five?
Okay. All right, so my number five is actually kind of related to the text that I sent last night, where I said, "Hey, you know what? I think I'm just drunk enough to suggest this." So the quote is, "Always do sober what you said you'd do drunk. That
Ah,
will teach you to
yes.
keep your mouth shut." That's from
I like it.
"Always
I
do
like
sober
it.
what you said you'd do drunk. That will teach you to keep your mouth shut." That's from the writer Ernest Hemingway, famously known for being drunk and a man who never kept his mouth shut, sober or drunk. So, but yeah, no, I always thought that's kind of a fun one. It's sort of like, okay, yep, there are times where the drink has gotten me in trouble. The drink and my mouth have gotten me in trouble. And I
Sure.
think at one point, I maybe earlier this fall, I had committed to doing a mohawk if someone's son had gotten A's and he was gonna get a mohawk. So I said, "Well, if you get A's on your test, I'll get a mohawk." Well, as you can see,
I do not have a mohawk.
yeah, I didn't realize I said
I mean,
that.
I will say some of my better ideas have come when I've been inebriated, but
Yeah.
they've never been fully fledged, fully
Yeah.
flushed out. Very flawed logic sometimes. Caleb, why don't you go ahead with yours?
Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, this was really hard. There was a lot of them, and I was like, I don't know what. So I picked five. I don't know if they're like my top five. They're
Yeah,
just
you
ones I
pick five for
enjoy.
tonight. Yeah,
Exactly.
you
Yep.
could always come
Yep.
back to
Yeah.
it.
This is where
But
you
one
are
of my,
today.
yep. So one of my favorite ones. It's a short little quote, but it's one of my favorite ones. It's from Socrates, and it says, "As for me, all I know is that I know nothing."
That's a good one.
Yeah, I just really like that quote. I think it used to be my Twitter handle, and then I got rid of Twitter. But just because I feel like so often people just think they know everything, and I just like, I think it's hopefully a little humbling to know that you don't know everything, and it's
I
okay
think
to
it's just
not
a
know.
healthy place to always kind of come back to is like, even though you put in so much work to know everything and you work hard and you become an expert in your field, You need to always remember that there's always someone who knows way more than you about whatever it is. Have
Well, and
some
you know, it's
humility.
from a fairly well-known, philosopher, pretty famous guy who seemed to know a lot or talk a lot, and he, as for me, all I know is I know nothing. So.
That's good. Cool. All right. My number five is probably my longest one, but I think it's just a really good one. And it's by Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. Love the guy. I've talked about him in the past, and I do have a couple of his other quotes, but I've brought up other quotes before, and this is one I've not brought up before. But this is so I'm just going to read it off. Part of the problem with the word disabilities is that it immediately suggests an inability to see or hear or walk or do other things that many of us take for granted. But what of people who can't feel or talk about their feelings or manage their feelings in constructive ways? What of people who aren't able to form close and strong relationships, and people who cannot find fulfillment in their lives, or those who have lost hope, who live in disappointment and bitterness and find in life no joy, no love? These, it seems to me, are the real disabilities. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's like, yeah, we talk about these physical disabilities that, people have in life. And I think, sometimes those people have a better grasp on what life is and what we're trying to do here, or what we should be trying to do here, than some of the most physically able people, who are just emotionally constipated and can't figure out what's really going on here. And it's just sad. Just the inability to love or be loved, the inability to have hope and to be happy. So that's my number five.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
yeah.
Nice.
All right, Rob, go ahead with your number four.
Right. So my number four kind of goes to the what if, right? Those questions with like when you ask yourself, like, what if I went down this path or that path? So this is, I'll just start with the quote. She wondered which wounds went deeper, the jagged wounds of reality or the profound invisible bruises of the imagination. So that's from the writer Vita Sackville-West from a book called All Passion Spent. It was a book that I read many years ago as part of a book club. And when I came upon that passage, she wondered which wounds went the deeper, the jagged wounds of reality or the profound invisible bruises of the imagination. It just jumped out at me. It was an immediate highlight. Definitely. I think it might have actually been the first quote to prompt me to open up the notes app.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, and I think sometimes that's where the torture can be, right? You could be,
Oh, yeah.
it's the torturing of the what if, and you're imagining a different scenario, and it kind of threads that line of like acceptance and regret and commitment, right? And so it's wrestling with all of that. And so I just thought it was like just a brilliant, beautiful question, that it was so eloquently stated.
That's good.
What was the name of that book? I think I missed it.
Yeah, it's called All Passion Spent. It's an interesting book because she's a younger woman when she wrote the book, but she's writing it from the perspective of an older woman who basically doesn't want to be bothered with her children or her grandchildren. She just wants to like live in her like little English cottage and live her life, and be kind of alone. She's done with it. She's like, I did the wife thing. I did the
I did my
motherhood
time.
thing. Yeah, she's like, I served my sentence, and I'm gonna go enjoy my peaceful English cottage and read my books and drink my cup of tea. And so yeah, it was just kind of funny to have this like young writer writing from that perspective and being like, okay, she clearly knew thyself.
Makes me
She.
think of a Christmas card I got the other day from one of my friends of the
Yeah, you want to
Grinch.
quote that one,
I don't have it in
Jay?
front of me, but it's like every year I understand more and more why the Grinch just wanted to live by himself with his dog or something like
Yep, that was my Christmas card this year.
Nice.
Good.
Nice. All right,
Right,
so my number
Caleb.
four. Okay, so this is my only religious quote. And believe it or not, my quote app has a lot of them because, like I said, when I started the quotes app, it was when I was a pastor or a youth pastor. So, but this is my only one. It's one of my favorite ones. It's by James Baldwin. The
Oh, I love
concept
James
of
Baldwin.
I do too. I have a lot of James Baldwin
Same.
quotes in my phone. Yeah. This is one of my favorite ones, though. If the concept of God has any validity or any use, it can only be to make us larger, freer, and more loving. If God cannot do this, then it is time we get rid of him. James Baldwin.
Yeah,
So
that's
I
good.
love that concept.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly that that should be the purpose of it is,
Yeah.
to make us more loving, more
Yeah.
free, more
More
caring for
creative.
others.
Yeah. Yep.
It's
Can you
hard to
read
narrow
that
it down to.
again? Yeah.
If the concept of God has any validity or any use, it can only be to make us larger, freer, and more loving. If God cannot do this, then it is time we get rid of him.
Love it.
Yep, I just love that quote. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually had two of his in my honorable mentions that I'll just share right now.
Do it.
One was decide who you are and force the world to deal with you. Self-knowledge leads to power. Power leads to protest. And when the winds are just right, change. And then the other one, so David Byrne quoted this in a Broadway show. He quoted he, David Byrne's quoting Dave, James Baldwin, and I have yet to find where this quote is of James Baldwin, so I don't know if this is apocryphal and or if it's not. I don't know if it's actually there, but I still believe we can do with this country something that has not been done before. And I always that's how sort of my philosophy of the United States of America is that it's always supposed to be an ever evolving, ever changing, and we the America has always been the greatest of ideas, and sometimes, you reach so high that you can't maybe necessarily live up to that idea. And so it's sort of like, we can still go to doing something and being, the that way we can do, but we can reach that level, but it's sort of implying that the work is never done,
Yes.
All right. My number four is from William Shakespeare from a play I didn't see, but it's All's Well That Ends Well is the play. But the quote is, love all, trust a few, do wrong to none, be able for thine enemy rather in power than use, and keep thy friend under thy own life's key. Be checked for silence, but never taxed for speech. So obviously this is, some English verbiage here. So I had to when I first read this, I had to decipher it a little bit. So love all, trust a few, obviously is pretty straightforward. Do wrong to none, live clean, don't let your actions harm others. Be able for thine enemy rather in power than use. Have the strength to defend yourself, but don't go around flexing your power. Keep thy friend under thy life's key. Guard and cherish your true friends. Hold your people close with care and loyalty. And then be checked for silence, but never taxed for speech. It's okay if people think you're too quiet. That's harmless, but don't let anyone shame you for speaking up. So that's just those are I feel like that's just a general like this is how to be how, this is how to be in life and just be a good person. Make your words matter. Don't flex your power for no reason. And then love all, trust a few. That it's just kind of like how I aspire to be. I fail all the time, but this is how I aspire to be as a person in general.
And I can't remember if I read this play in college. I took a class on Shakespeare. I actually don't love Shakespeare. I love reading Shakespeare. I love like sitting in a class about Shakespeare, but as somebody who even works in the theater, I don't actually enjoy sitting in the seats and watching and listening to Shakespeare. And everyone seems to think I like they're shocked when I say that.
This isn't your favorite.
Yeah, like they're also shocked when I have said I've never seen Dumb and Dumber. So I have like a I have my lane and I know what I like. So I don't know. I have to. I would be curious to know in which co what context that Passage falls in.
I can actually tell you here as I was doing research.
By the way, I believe Dumb and Dumber is the Shakespeare of our time, right? So it makes sense that you haven't
Well,
seen it yet,
it could be. I mean, there are some characters that are like
right?
that. Malvolio, Falstaff, and Festes. No, sorry, not Malvolio. But Festes the clown, and
So the speaker in this quote is the Countess of Rossillon, giving advice rooted in wisdom and balance. So I don't know who that character is, because like I said, I didn't see the play or read the or read the play. But yeah. It appears in All's Well That Ends Well, a play full of moral dilemmas, loyalty, love, and courage. But yeah, it's just good moral advice for, someone who's searching, which was me at that time. So yeah, so those are our number fours. Rob, you want to kick us off with our number threes?
Yeah, sure. So my number three actually is one that I was just sort of reminded of maybe a few weeks ago. Playwright Tom Stoppard recently passed away. He was a writer who would bring a lot of science to the stage. He was one of those kind of writers. And so there's a play called Arcadia, and it kind of goes back and forth between the 1800s and present day. And it's all about kind of scholars sort of investigating like what's happening and trying to understand, trying to put the past in context, actually, right? It's just sort of like that last question I just asked you. So there's a monologue in here that I'm going to read that, again, I had totally forgotten about this. And when someone was doing a tribute to Tom Stoppard after his death a week or so ago, they read this quote. So this is from Arcadia. "We shed as we pick up, like travelers who must carry everything in their arms, and what we let fall will be picked up by those behind. The procession is very long and life is very short. We die on the march. There is nothing outside of the march, so nothing can be lost to it. The missing plays of Sophocles will turn up piece by piece, or be written again in another language. Ancient cures for diseases will reveal themselves once more. Mathematical discoveries glimpsed and lost to view will have their time again. Do not suppose, my lady, that if for all of Archimedes had been hiding in the great library of Alexandria, that we'd be at loss for a corkscrew." And what I love about this was that I remember one time I was in a class in college, and a teacher had kind of commented about how it's okay if things get lost in time, plays or what have you, that they all come back again, right? They all come back, they all circle around in another way.
The
In
sentiment,
fact, yeah, there's another quote that I had, basically kind of saying like there's like for this is from Willa Cather from her book O Pioneers. There are only two or three human stories, and they go on repeating themselves as fiercely as if they had never happened before. And so what Tom Stoppard's kind of getting at is a little bit like that about storytelling, but I think it's a little bit about life, you know. And I'm so one of the things I mentioned is that I'm taking on some civic duties, and I'm thinking to myself, why the fuck am I doing this? Like, why am I volunteering? Why am I volunteering my time and not getting paid for it? But you know, it's there are times where I've sort of wrestled with somebody who doesn't have children or what have you, and I think about legacy. It's like, you know, and I'm there will come a day that I will be dead, and 100 years from now, no one's going to remember the sound of my voice. They may not even remember my name. And you can think that I think sometimes we look at certain men who drive themselves to try to ensure they have a legacy. I think that's partly what's going on with like Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump and a few other world leaders right now. It's like very
Fear
clear, particularly
of
with
dying.
Putin. Yeah, right? Like it's this fear of dying or this fear of being forgotten. And what I like about this is that it's sort of, you know, the procession is very long and life is very short. We die on the march. You know, and it's talking about how, you know, there's nothing outside of the march, so nothing is lost to it, right? So here he is, very kind of philosophical and mathematical, but it's actually deeply spiritual in the sense that nothing is ever really lost, and things are just always going to go on, and it's really our role for our time on Earth to just sort of march the time that we march, and when we're done, it's done, and somebody else is going to pick it up, and it
Sure.
just goes on happening as if it has never happened before. So,
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, obviously for someone who is like Trump or Putin or, some powerful person, that quote is not a comfort, but it's to for someone who, for someone who really wonders, or I don't know how to say it, but to a normal person, I feel like it's more comforting to, just to know that, in the end, everything is just going to be recycled, and what's done is going to be done again at some point. The math is going to be mathed again at some point. The philosophy is going to be philosophized again. But like, we might as well just enjoy life for what it is, and not grasp on to these things that we've created so tightly, because we're just gonna be dust in the end. But
Yeah, I think that there's an element of that, right? Like there are certain people who are driven, and I didn't mean to get touched into so much of politics when I pick world leaders, but I think there's anybody, or certain artists or certain people that are just driven to try to achieve immortality, which is sort of a fool's errand, right? Because nothing is immortal. Like we may quote Socrates today, but how many other voices in his time are not heard today, right? Like that's just the reality of things. And so that's, yeah, it's just sort of interesting to see when people are driven, but it's something that I think about often. It's like, you just play your part. You don't even know what that part is, right? You don't even know what it is that you're picking up or what you're walking on, but you just continue to the march. That's all you can do is you just continue the march. So
Some
It
people
reminds
do
me of
pod some people do
another
podcasts.
yeah, right. It reminds me of another quote of it's a short one, but it's like old men planting the seeds of which the trees they will never sit under their shade. The idea of we're just part of the story, part of the lineage, and just because you might not see the fulfillment of what you've done, someone might eventually down the road. So
You don't know the people that you're affecting sometimes. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Cool.
All right,
So
Caleb.
my number three. Like I said, I put these in the notes app, and there are moments where I don't timestamp any of my stuff or put dates on it when I put it. I just put it in my notes app, and obviously there's no way to really see when or how or what date you put stuff in. But this quote, I do actually remember when I put it in. It was, I don't know, probably 6 months-ish into the first Trump administration, when I was just, I think like a lot of people, frustrated and pissed and didn't know what to do, didn't know how to feel, didn't know how to handle things. And I remember coming across this quote, and I put it in because it kind of helped me process some frustrations I had, if you will. And it's from Maya Angelou, and it is, "Hate has caused a lot of problems in the world, but has never solved one yet." And it just reminded me that, as much as I wanted to be angry and hateful and spiteful and vengeful, ultimately that doesn't really do me any good, society any good. So just a reminder that, hate really doesn't, it causes problems, but it doesn't solve them. And it's not going to make anything better. It's not going to make my life better. It's not going to make someone else's life better. And I really love that quote. And I remember, like I said, it's one of the few that I remember putting in, and what time I was and where I was and all that kind of stuff. So, I just enjoy that one a lot.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That actually, it kind of lines up with one of my honorable mentions by Martin Luther King Jr. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. So, yeah. But yeah. Cool. All right, so my number three is by Friedrich Nietzsche. Is that how you pronounce his name? Nietzsche? Nietzsche.
Nietzsche.
And that has always been one of my favorite quotes. Never knew it was him. until more recently, but that which does not kill us makes us stronger. And it's a very simple quote, obviously. But it's not like, it's more of like suffering, in life, suffering is unavoidable, but it doesn't have to destroy you. It doesn't have to be the end. And growth comes from getting back up and picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and learning from it. But then the other thing is like to remember that like strength and grit and experience and all these things, like they aren't automatic. You gotta earn them. And sometimes it's painful, and a lot of times it's painful. And the biggest lessons in life I've found are ones that come in painful or fork in the road moments in your life. And I wish it didn't have to be that way, but it seems to be the way it has been for me. So,
Well, but it's the way of everything. It's the echoes of, I mean, we don't remember the pain of birth, but there's transformation there, there's pain there, there's pain at death at the end, right? So this only makes sense that even between those two intervals that whatever transformation happened is a result of pain.
You learn from pain. You learn you don't like pain, and you decide to do something different to keep yourself from getting that pain the next time that specific situation comes up, right? So
Right, if you can, yeah.
if you can, or you die. Anyway, so that's my number three.
I can't believe he took credit for a Kelly Clarkson.
I think there's still a lawsuit going on there between those two.
Yeah, right. They're still fighting it out.
Nietzsche v. Clarkson.
Cool. All right, so those are our number threes. Rob, go ahead with your number two.
All right, so my number two is from a musician that I can't say that I know as much as I know other musicians, but I came upon this one, and it's sort of what drives me, or at least it sort of encapsulates that what the fuck feeling that I have, which is, and I've reached the age where this is happening more and more when I realize I walk into a room and I'm the adult in the room. This is from Jerry Garcia, right? Somebody has to do something, and it's just incredibly pathetic that it has to be us. It's like,
I like
oh,
that.
it's like, oh, I'm the adult. Oh, shit. Okay, somebody
Crap.
got it. Oh,
I'm the devil.
me. I. Okay, all right. Okay, great.
That's good.
Somebody has to do something, and it's just incredibly pathetic that it has to be us.
Well, I mean, there's that realization that if you're the one realizing that something has to be done, then it's probably going to have to be you. It's because oftentimes people don't realize that something needs to be done, or you're the person that needs to do it. But yeah, that's interesting. Thanks, Jerry.
I know Cherry Garcia way more. I've
Great
consumed
ice cream.
way more Cherry Garcia than I have ever consumed of
Jerry.
Jerry Garcia.
Same. Cool. All right, Caleb, what's your number two?
All right, so my number two, I stumbled across this. I don't know, I was at some shop somewhere, and it was like some sort of like postcard thing. I took a picture of it and I put it in my notes app, and I enjoy it. It's a good quote. It reminds me of we only have today. So this is from Dalai Lama. It is, there are only 2 days in the year that nothing can be done. One is called yesterday, the other is called tomorrow. So today is the right day to love, believe, do, and mostly live. Dumb.
That's good.
Yeah,
I never heard that one.
No, I hadn't either. I just was in, I think I was in the bookstore. We were on vacation one time and I saw it sitting in the, they just had it out on display and I went, oh, that's kind of a cool quote. So I took a
Yeah.
picture of it and put it in my quote app. So.
Nice. All right, so that was your number two. My number two. This is from another musician that I do love, and I do love listening to his music. And that's Bob Marley. And the quote is, "One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain." And this is just, I mean, you guys know me and how much I love music, and it really drives me when I'm feeling down. It really, I love cranking it when I'm feeling good. I love it in all different phases of my life. And when you're in the groove with a song that you're just clicking with, it literally you feel no pain. When even a sad song, like when you're feeling a good song that is really resonating with you, it transforms things somehow. I don't know how to explain it. I think you guys can both agree with this, but
Well,
yeah.
it's that feeling of like, I remember one time Peter McNichol, I was watching this episode of the Ally. This is like this is from my memory, like in 19 like 96, but like he's delivering like Peter McNichol and Ally McBeal are delivering like a thing to the jury, and he's saying like, sometimes you just hear that song and your heart beats a little faster, and the next thing you're speeding in your car way faster than you should be. Like that's what music could do, right? Like, I think, we've all had that moment where you just sometimes get lost in the song and you kind of drive past, oh shit, I was gonna turn there, or I'm going way faster than I should be going.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I kind of wrote this as like music becomes my friend. It's a mood shifter. It's kind of like that steady presence of something that doesn't demand anything from you. It's not your job. It's not asking you to do anything. It's just asking you to be there and just be present and just enjoy life in this moment. And that's why I love music. So anyway, that's my number two.
Oh boy. All right. I am kind of going back and forth on what my number one is. I'm like real quickly. I had a number one and I think I'm just gonna go with my number one. And if it speaks to my spirit of procrastination just as I did right now in this moment, it's from Duke Ellington. I don't need time, I need a deadline. I am guilty of
Oh,
maybe
same. I
sometime
this is good for me
over-engineering.
too.
Like suddenly that was gonna be my number one, and then I'm listening to you and I'm like, wait, I have a quote that's kind of about like that, like the day and the tomorrow. And then I'm like, and I was like, well, that would be a good one. And then I'm like, no, the pressure's on. Everyone's listening. I
You
don't
got
need
the
time. I need
deadline.
a deadline. Yep. And that's true. It's so true. Like
That's
that's just
good.
how my brain works. I sometimes can over-engineer things a little bit. And so I was this type of student. I was actually saying to somebody how like I would write papers in college. I wouldn't even start them until like the night before or the morning of when they were due. And it wasn't, and I would get an A. I would get away with it actually, right? And I used to think I actually went into college thinking I was going to be a journalist. So I love the deadline and things get done. And it definitely helps me over or overcome that writer's block or that staring down the blank page. But I would go for walks, or I would take showers, I'd go for a run, or I'd be doing my other things, and I'd be thinking about the paper that needed to be written. And teachers would say, like, you have a remarkable ability to remember like a character's first name, and everyone like Faustus. Everyone talked about Faustus. Well, his name is Dr. John Faustus, right? She's like, how do you remember? So I would read these things, I would make my notes, and then I would remember them, and then they'd be ruminating in my head, right? And then finally, when it came to sit down and write the paper, I would just write it down almost like it was like a blue book exam. You get in there, you open up the thing, and you write down your pencil, and then it's like pencils down. I would just kind of do that, and that so it would be like almost like a first draft. Then I would look it over just to make sure certain things were right, remove any errors or what have you, and then maybe rearrange a sentence or two if I had the time, and then otherwise I would just send it in. And so it's I wish that wasn't the case, right? Because I developed a bad habit in life,
Sure,
right?
sure.
So
You
it's
start
it
to
truly is.
push that line of how long can I push it off? Because I'm the same
It's like a
way.
junkie, right? Like I need more
Yeah.
pressure. I need more pressure.
Give me more pressure. I can do it in 1 hour.
Yeah, I think didn't Maya Angelou have a quote about like pressure makes diamonds, kind of a thing, right? You know, so yeah, so Duke Ellington, I don't need time, I need a deadline. That's me in a nutshell.
That's great.
Nice.
I love that one. I'm gonna steal it. All right, Caleb, what's your
All
number
right.
one?
So my number one, again, it's just my number one for right now. It'll change constantly. So this is from Stephen Hawking's. Stephen Hawking, not Hawking's.
Correct.
There's not plurals. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. Just really love that quote.
Yeah, that was kind of like your other one before, where it was oh shoot, what was the one you said before? Where the
That
one thing
as
I
for me,
know.
all I know is I know nothing.
Yeah.
I have another one too about kind of that same thing. If you can't explain it to a 6-year-old, you don't understand it yourself, by Albert Einstein. So,
I like that one. Yeah. Cool. That's great. All right, mine. I wrote this one down a long time ago because I think our friend Rob Bell brought it up in something, either on his podcast or in one of his books or something. But I wrote this one down and it kind of stuck with me. So then I wanted to look it up to see who wrote it, and it was actually written by an influential American politician named Sam Rayburn. He served as the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives longer than anyone in history, known for his plain-spoken wisdom and calm leadership. He was respected across party lines.
Yeah, there's
And
the
his
I think it's called the Rayburn Building. It's one of the
oh,
offices in
yes,
Congress.
that's right. Yeah, I did not make that connection. But anyway, the quote is, "Any jackass can kick down a barn, but it takes a good carpenter to build one." And it's kind of funny, you know, but it's really, you know, basically it means is like any jackass can pull down an idea, or, you know, poke holes in things and, you know, or tear apart, you know, ideas of, you know, whatever, if you want to talk politics. But it takes someone with some actual vision and someone with some actual skill to build something that's of value. Anybody can tear it down, but it takes someone who is actually talented to build something of worth. And so I love it as a builder. It means something a little bit to me as well, you know, and that's true. I mean, there's these companies out there that just are, they call themselves builders, but all they do is do demo. And I mean, they don't make as much money as the skilled Finnish carpenters do. Yeah, this one has always stuck with me, and it's so true. And like, it just, I mean, it goes to, you know, when it's like the glass house, you know, quote, where it's like, you know, how does that go again? I'm drawing a blank.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
It's just like, like anybody can say shit, but like, you know, unless you're gonna actually do something about it, you know, maybe don't say shit.
Right, right.
That's my summary of it. But yeah, that's my
I
number
had not
one.
heard that before, but yeah, no, that's a good quote.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So those are our top fives. Does anybody have any honorable mentions that just couldn't make the list? Rob, why
I'll
don't
go
you go?
last. I'll
You
go
want to go
last.
last? All right, Caleb, why don't you go?
Oh, I gotta go?
Yeah. I can go if you want. I don't care.
You can hold it
Sure,
in,
why? You were
Caleb.
just the next one, next in line.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I had a lot, but I'll just keep. I won't read all of them. I'll just do a couple of them. So I did have that Albert Einstein quote on there. If you can't explain it to a sixth grader, you don't really understand it. One of my favorite Buddhist sayings is "Do not speak unless it improves upon the silence." I just enjoy that one. Paul Tillich said the first duty of love is to listen. And then Carl Sagan, somewhere there is something incredible waiting for or waiting to be known. I always think Carl Sagan has some really good quotes. Another one, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion. I'll leave it there. Maybe I'll throw another one out later, but that's good for now.
Okay. All right, I got a few. Adults are just obsolete children, and the hell with them. That's by Dr. Seuss. Just love the fact that, adults are just children that have grown up and become closed-minded and, unimaginative and not fun. And like I think that's something we should all aspire to stay childlike in those regards.
I don't know. I mean, at least we can wipe our fucking noses.
Yes. There are things that
These
we
kids,
should do. Yeah.
come on, kids are overrated. Like, I'm much happier being in my 40s than I was when I was a child, and I have still just as rich
No,
an imagination.
there are aspects that are definitely better to be an adult with. Yeah. I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work by Thomas Edison. That promotes, trying stuff and failing and trying something new. We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. That's by Aeneas Nin.
Then, yep.
Be the change you wish to see in the world by Maya Angelou. A friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you by Elbert Hubbard. And then the last one I have is we all know the truth. More connects us than separates us. But in
Good
times
job,
of
yeah.
crisis, the wise build bridges while the foolish build barriers. We must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single tribe, Black Panther.
To
Go
try. Yep.
ahead, Rob.
Yeah, so this one is I have two here that I'm going to read that are an echo of some of the ones I brought up before. So this is from Margaret Mead. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that has ever has, right? So that's a little bit going on to the Jerry Garcia. Sort of an echo of that, only he just says it in a more exasperated tone, like I would. Soren Kierkegaard has one. Life must be, this is sort of like an echo of Tom Stoppard's march. Life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. He's an existentialist,
That's
religious
good.
writer, everything, theologian. But this one I'm going to end on for both of you, since this is my final time here. Not my final, but this, as a regular on
For now.
the high five. This is from the vastly superior universe of Star Trek over Star Wars.
Hey, we just started watching Strange New Worlds. We're three
Okay.
episodes in. Yeah, but
Okay.
anyway, go
All
ahead.
right. Good. Because this is from Gene Roddenberry himself. In a
Yes.
very real sense, we are all aliens on a strange planet. We spend most of our lives reaching out and trying to communicate. If during our whole lifetime we could reach out and really communicate with just two people, we are indeed very fortunate. So there you go. You two people, Gene
Love
Roddenberry.
it.
Here we
Love
are
it.
on our little spaceships talking on our screens and in our little microphones. And so there you go.
Cool. That's good. I like that. Good spot to end it, Rob. Well done. Should
I know how to stick a landing. I'm
have
so
been a figure skater.
fucking humble too.
The humblest.
By far the most humblest.
Yeah.
People say my apple pie is the most crumblest.
What is that from? It's the
It's
hum. It's
that
from
Andy Samberg movie, Pop Star.
Pop Star.
Okay.
There's a song
Or it
called The
was the
Humblest.
Lonely Island movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. It flopped in the box office, but it's one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
But cool. Well, all right. Well, I think we should leave it there and send you off the right way, Rob. And just like we said before, we're gonna miss you. We love you, and we've enjoyed having you for the time we've had you, and we look forward to having you again sometime. The door is always open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for letting me kind of play in the sandbox for a little while.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Caleb, you got anything to say?
No. Nope.
He's doing that silence thing, right? Like, don't
Yeah.
add, don't speak unless you're going
Yeah.
to
I take that one to heart.
add. All right. Well, see you guys next time. And thanks, Rob.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Bye.
For listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.